I had kind of a strange day yesterday that I wanted to share a little bit of. We went to Brother Kirk and Sister Natalia's house yesterday to pick up some beautiful pieces of wood that they're donating to the church for a cross, and just some really nice stuff. And I only mention that because the timeline of doing that and seeing their new puppy and visiting a little bit with them put us on an interesting track, because our next step was to go to church. And we've had some issues with our wise men. We have the nativity scene out there. They got into some eggnog or something. They just keep looking like they're passed out on the floor in front of the church. I get it, it was a long journey, right? But they're just like on the ground. And so my job, I sobered them up and I put them back up top and put the stakes back into the ground. But all of that took some time, and it put us on this perfect trajectory that as I was closing the gate of the church and banging my knee on my car door, how many times have I opened a car door and I hit my knee on, I still don't know how to do it right. So I'm in a bad mood. I'm a little frustrated from hitting my knee, and all of a sudden this lady pulls up in like a U-Haul truck. And I just, immediately the Grinch in me is like, this just can't be good, right? So she pulls up to the church and she's waving, and I said, maybe I could just get away with a wave and then fast drive away. But no, she's waving, and so I roll down the window and she says, hi, I just bought some furniture and I'm wondering if somebody can help me move it. And I said, okay, she said, I'll even pay them. And I said, okay, right? So, no, I actually thought maybe, you know, I can call down below and see if anybody's at their church that wants to earn a few Christmas dollars. But I started to think about it, and I was resistant. I will tell you, I was not in a good mood. So it wasn't my best moment of the week. But I finally said, you know what, it's fine, I'll help. Right? I mean, how much does it pay, right? But no, I said, I'll help. We'll drive down. And so she's, oh, great, okay, it's just a couple miles down the road here, you know. You probably know this area better than me. I'll follow you. So we do that, and we get up to this house, and she kind of said, now I want to give you a heads up here. The lady who's here, she's a little bit of a hoarder, but I just bought some furniture from her. So, you know, maybe you could just be nice. Right, so the lady comes to the front door when we're doing this, and she's saying, oh, you know, ma'am, I need to talk to you. So she calls her over, and of course I can hear it, and she says, I'm really sorry, I've changed my mind, I don't want to do business with you. And so now the lady says, what are you talking, you know, the lady drove from Cardiff or something. It was a weird exchange, and all at this point I've kind of just decided, like, what did I get myself into here? This is what being nice does to me, right? So I'm just kind of standing there, and now all of a sudden I'm the intervention between these two people, one who has been kind of resisting selling furniture, one who wants me to move furniture into this van. And so then there becomes this kind of eruption of, you know, here, take your money back, and then the lady is upset, and she says, well, let me give you some free furniture because you rented this truck, and so now I'm moving free furniture out of the van, or out of this lady's house, which was very full, and putting it into the back of this truck. And it was just a really weird moment. But I will tell you that as it went along, God did something to me, and he softened me. I went from resistant to just kind of saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on right now, but I'm open to this as ministry. I don't know what's going on. But you know, I'm saying yes. And so by the end, I was really excited to see what God was going to do at this moment. And the lady said, okay, thanks for your help, and drove off. And that was the end of it. And I kind of went, what? And I was very confused with the whole experience until about 10 minutes later, when I went to go pick up lunch. We went to Jersey Mike's, and I went inside, and the guy said, you know, I don't understand this line. They always do it at restaurants, and they always go, how's your day going so far? And I'm like, weird. Honestly, it was weird. And so I started telling the story. I'm a pastor, you know, all this kind of went down, and I told them the whole story, and they're listening, and he kind of went, okay, all right. Now, what kind of sandwich do you want? But there's another lady. She wasn't even my sandwich artist, and she looked up, and she said, that's really cool that you were there. Tell me about your church. And I said, okay, thanks, I get it now. And so, you know, all this to say it's amazing what God is willing to do if we're just willing to be there and to be obedient. And it might not make a lot of sense. It might be really confusing, and maybe we don't even get an immediate answer like I did here. But it's amazing what God is willing to do with people like me if we're just willing to listen and be obedient. Does anyone have a worse job than Gabriel? You read the gospel accounts. I think he's got a hard job, okay? Because his whole thing is to go and remind people, stop being afraid, which means he's dealing with very scared people here. And he's dealing with really difficult members of the community, okay? Because if God said, I want you to come down, I want you to explain the inexplicable, and I want you to do it to kind of a disgruntled old man and a disturbed and confused 14-year-old girl, I would ask for another assignment. This is a hard sell, right? But thank God for Gabriel. Thank God he is exactly where he is at that moment. This is a confusing story. I mean, it says that Mary is confused and disturbed. I mean, that could go on my business card, right? But that, can you imagine trying to explain what's going on to somebody in this moment? They're terrified. You know, they're so scared and confused. You know, I've shared a few times this last couple of months that I've had this epiphany of sort of, these are real people that Jesus is dealing with. You know, they're not, I know Jesus is real, but we sort of seem to kind of make them into caricatures. They're sort of icons of people. I said that during the rich young ruler reading, that was a real shock to me. This is a real guy. And I always knew that the gospel is true, but I never thought about what's going on in his head. You know, Mary, in the same way, she's not an icon. She's not a relic or some sort of statuette. She's a real person. She's living and breathing and having real thoughts and being really confused and really disturbed by all of that's going on. She's a real person experiencing this stuff. And she has this incredible visitation. And Gabriel says what's going on and what the plan is. Now, what struck me this week as I started to think about it, I think if God told me that I was going to be doing something of that level, obviously it wouldn't be pregnancy, but if it was something along that lines of like, you're going to be dying for this, you're coming out of the blue, like, you know, people will judge you, and forever you're going to be fighting this uphill battle. You're going to have to deal with so much grief in your life, but you're doing it for the glory of God. I'd really have to take a pause, especially at 14, or being a young person like that. And I said, you know, it's really interesting because this part isn't in the story, but I really truly believe based on the character of God, she could have said no. Mary could have said no. You know, he could have come to her. He could have brought Gabriel and said, this is the plan, and she could have said no. And I know that he would have allowed that. Because God is a gentleman. He loves to give us the option and the opportunity to come to him. He never forces anybody. I said, wouldn't it be funny if the entire like first half of the New Testament is just Gabriel going to different people and hearing no all of the time? But I don't think that happens because God goes to Mary first. And the reason that he chooses Mary is because he knows Mary's heart. Yes, she has a choice, but yes, he knows her character so clearly that he knows what she's going to do in this moment. So he goes and he says, this is what the plan is. Gabriel lays it out. And she's confused, but she says yes. Now, one word stood out to me this time that I don't know if I'd ever heard. But Gabriel is sharing this plan. He's sharing just what's going to be going on. And he says that God, this is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will overshadow you. And that word gave me a lot of pause this week. That the Spirit will overshadow her. Because again, that doesn't really sound like the character of God. There's sort of a sense of overtaking and overwhelming. But is that the character of God to just take us over? To push us past where our will is willing to go? But this word is really this kind of idea of he will enshroud you. He will cover you. And to give you an idea of what that really means, think of these other times when it's used, that the temple of God is overshadowed with the Shekinah glory of God. that at the transfiguration, the Holy Spirit overshadows the mountain. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit overshadows these disciples just as they go out and share Jesus Christ. This overshadowing is not a bad thing. In fact, isn't it what John the Baptist celebrates as his ministry is sort of diminishing? And he says, praise God! God has to increase so that I can decrease. This is an amazing thing that's happening. God is overshadowing myself, what I'm putting into it. God is overshadowing all of our impurities, all of our imperfections, all of our brokenness, and shining his glory out. And that's what the world gets to see. I want to be overshadowed. I want to be enshrouded in his glory that people don't see Brian, the guy who's complaining about his knee hurting while he's helping somebody move out of a hoarder's den. I want to be enshrouded. I want to be overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that we all do. Consider again those folks that have been described as overshadowed by God. You know, these folks that built the temple perfect to God's instruction. They were obedient and willing to serve God in such a way that God could come in and overshadow them. Consider the transfiguration. In that moment, Jesus is praying. Jesus wants to be used by God, and he overshadows them. And we know that on that day of Pentecost, the disciples are all together in a room praying, begging God to just use them in some way. And that's the moment when God overshadows them and uses them to grow the kingdom of God. What does that tell you about those folks that God overshadows? God overshadows the willing, the obedient, those who trust in him and say, more of you, less of me. But remember, God is all about free will, all about choice. And as much as God overshadows the willing, God resists the resistant. You know, for too long in my life, I've said, God, do it my way. God, I've got a great plan, and I want it to work in your life. You know, I want to do it my way. And I think that God is so resistant of that as a gift of grace. He's not going to force anybody, but he wants to love us and use us. God will overshadow you if you are willing to be used by him. I can tell you with great certainty, there is no one who has prayed that prayer every day. Use me, Lord. I just submit, I give up, use me. There's nobody that on their deathbed has been waiting to be used. Every single person who is willing to be used of the Lord will be used of the Lord. I'm convinced of this. But everyone who is resistant to the Lord will be awaiting his presence forever. God overshadows the willing. And the most important overshadowing of all is the cross. Is that moment when Jesus offers himself for all of us. So that everything that we've done, every mistake, every sin that we've ever committed is overshadowed by his grace and his mercy, by the gift of his death. And it all begins when we're willing, when we're open, when we're asking that God would use us. God will overshadow you if you are just willing to be used by him. That's the message of this Mary Sunday. She's not perfect. She is not a demigod. She is a human who is willing to be used by God. And she's a model for every one of us that wants to be used for his purposes. That in the good times, in the confusing times, in the disturbing times, we say yes. And the good news is that God will overshadow you and he will use you. And at the last, he will overshadow you so you are welcome into his kingdom. So my prayer is that this week you would be willing to be overshadowed. That you would be enshrouded by the Holy Spirit for his purposes. That's what normal Christian behavior looks like. So I invite you to pray to be overshadowed today. Let's just take a moment right now to ask God to speak into use us.